Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Women's Work of Quickening. This is what women do. All over our planet, incredible women are engaged in all kinds of life essential, life respecting, life supporting, and life enhancing actions. We at DrMackenzieBrooks.com are collecting the stories of these women, audio recording them, and compiling them in one location for women to access, to listen to, and perhaps to be inspired by the inner and outer journeys that these women of voice and action are walking. Every story shared by these women of voice and action offer us an opportunity to learn and benefit from the life learnings and wisdoms that these women have gained on their heroic journeys and now are sharing their stories with us. My deepest desire is that you enjoy listening to this inspiring woman as much as I've enjoyed engaging in this conversation with her. Today is September 13, 2015, and we are joined by Beran McCartney. Beran McCartney lives in Shawinigan Lake, British Columbia, Canada. Beran is a 54-year-old mum, house cleaner, and part-time activist who is presently working on various initiatives and attempting to bring balance into her life. Beran grew up on a farm in Agassiz, British Columbia, where she gained an appreciation and a respect for the environment and learned the value of hard work. Beran's mother served as the first female alderperson on the local council, and her father organized the fight against the British Columbia social credit government of the day, who were expropriating theirs and neighboring farmers' land to build a highway extension. You could say Beran comes by her calling naturally. Beran became an activist in 2010 when her local government attempted to place a garbage site known as an eco depot on a beautiful, winding, rural road close to her home. She joined a group that banded together to fight this proposal, and after a year and a half, they won. Since that fight, Beran has been heavily involved in other questionable projects. 5 million tons of contaminated dirt to be dumped in the Shawinigan Lake watershed, and a liquefied natural gas storage facility proposed for the Saanich Inlet on the coast of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, as well as keeping an eye on her local regional district. Beran lives with a partner and 2 young adult daughters, of whom she is immensely proud. Welcome, Beran. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Mackenzie.
So, Beran, please tell us how you found yourself doing what you are doing.
Well, as you stated in the intro, I was living a lovely life in a beautiful part of Vancouver Island, and I had a knock on my door Friday afternoon, June 11th, 2010, from a CVRD, Couch and Valley Regional District employee, who said, "We would like to just let you know that we're going to be your new neighbors." And what they were proposing was a recycling facility that we soon found out was not that, but more like a garbage site. So that was the beginning of a year and a half long fight with a lot of other wonderful people who, as you stated, we banded together. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of challenge up and down. We met once a week. We didn't spend hours at this. We spent weeks. And in the end, because of how everyone felt that we could not give up on this, we were successful. There was a referendum held by our regional district with the question of, do you support this garbage site in this location? And 75% of the respondents said no in Shawinigan Lake. So that was part of it. We also issued a court challenge with the zoning issue, and we won that as well. So that's how it started for me. I was I was unable to comprehend how any local government could possibly think that their idea to put this garbage site on such a beautiful, lovely road in a beautiful agricultural pastoral area was the right thing to do. And that's when I thought, I guess one should pay more attention to what's going on. And that's basically how it started.
You mentioned in your introductory biography, which I read earlier, that you were also paying attention to some other activities that are occurring in your community. Can you speak a little bit more about those too, please?
Yes. I guess a few years ago, a local company that is running a quarry in the Shawinigan Lake watershed decided, well, we've taken all this gravel out, so we must find something to put in. And they decided that the best thing would be to put in contaminated dirt. So over the course of 50 years, they're going to put in 100,000 tons per year of contaminated dirt. That went through the process, and the British Columbia provincial government decided, yes, you have crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, so we will issue you your permit. And that's when a lot of people decided, local politicians as well as many, many, many community activists decided, absolutely not, we will not allow you to do this. So that process is ongoing. That fight is still ongoing. It's not just myself that's involved. There are many, many other people that have worked extremely hard on that with petitions and rallies and protests. And I don't know how many emails and letters to local government and provincial government politicians. So that is going through the court process as we speak. The next one was a bit of a blindside. August 20th, Steelhead Company plus Williams, they had a news conference on Malahat First Nation, which is off the coast of Vancouver Island in Saanich Inlet, close to Mill Bay, Bamberton. They had a news conference where they announced that they would be running a pipeline for natural gas from Cherry Point, Washington to the island, where it would be turned into liquefied natural gas on a floating storage facility just off the beach in Bamberton. The First Nations community, the Malahat, bought the land for this purpose. That was a blindside. Nobody saw that coming. And that fight is just beginning. There, again, are many, many people who are banding together to attempt to stop this proposal, including many First Nations people of the other bands around the inlet, plus the Malahat First Nations themselves. It is very controversial. It's in the beginning stages, so I'm trying to help out with that one.
What impact has taking action had on your life, Brian?
The impact has been in time. When you take action, it can be very time-consuming. So you have to balance your priorities. When the Eco Depot happened, my children were 15 and 13. Just as a little story, on my youngest daughter's 13th birthday, we were celebrating by protesting out in front of the Cowichan Valley Regional District offices in Duncan. That's what my poor kid was doing on her 13th birthday. Not that she was too unhappy about it. She helped me make the banners, and she, you know, she thought it was okay. But it did take me away from my family. There were many meetings. There were many protests. There was just a massive amount of time that I spent on the phone and on the computer. But because it was such a huge deal for me, that was, it was something that I could not stop. I could not back down. It needed to be done. That was a problem that needed to be fixed. So I had to, unfortunately, spend too much time at it, and my family life did suffer. I was not able to help out with my kids, my girls' homework as much as I wanted to. There were some evenings where dinners were very rushed because mom had to go off to attend another meeting or whatever. I tried desperately to balance things, but my family was impacted. And in the end, we did win, so thank goodness for that. It was a good lesson. I hope my girls will understand when they're older that this was a good lesson, that they saw their mom do this, and even though it took mom away, mom was eventually successful, and sometimes this is what you must do when something is very, very important to you. But there is that question of balance. I'm still attempting to balance my activities in activism with my home life. It is a struggle, but I think we're working through it.
As a woman, Brianne, what have you learned?
I have learned that you need to depend on other people. You need the support of other people. That communication is key in all of this. And that for some reason, women seem to be better at the art of communication. Women don't seem to get as angry as easily as sometimes the men in activism do. I mean, I know I'm generalizing, but that's basically what I learned, that women seem to be able to work around things easier. They find the time and in their lives to do things. They will work extremely hard, whereas sometimes, you know, the men will just try to send emails or write letters or something and think that that's good enough. But the women sort of take it one step further. And women have the capacity to make relationships work with even with the people that they are attempting to fight.
Brianne, what did you mean when you said that women will take it one step further?
Well, it just seems to me that women will not give up quite so easily, and that they will try to find a way around something, no matter how hard it is. They will try to find a way to communicate. They just don't seem to stop. They seem to be able to, if they can't talk to the head person, then they'll talk to the next one. They'll talk to the next one below, or they'll form a coffee meeting, or they'll meet with other women, or they will attempt to find a way to do things, you know, not necessarily just stomp all over the legislature grounds and yell and scream, or go to a CVRD meeting and stand up at the mic and berate their directors with harsh questions. Women will attempt to make those little phone calls off to the side. Women will attempt to find a way to sit down and have coffee with someone. Or women will gather their own. They will phone their friends. They will phone their neighbors. They will phone their other family members. They will find support any way they can. And they do it with a smile on their face. That's sort of what I meant.
Is there anything else that, as a woman, in all the journeys that you've been on since 2010, that you've learned?
Yes. The one crucial element to I think anyone, any woman or man for that matter, that is wanting to help out with their activism is never give up. Never, ever, ever. I know that there are people out there listening right now that are attempting to fight major issues, major proposals, and they seem sit there, and it's daunting. Yes, it is. And there are times when you go home and you cry. And there are times when you go home and you just have to have a glass of wine just to balance yourself out. Those times will happen. And the good times will also happen. The secret and the key is never, ever give up. Find a way. Put one foot in front of the other. Just grab your supporters, whoever they are, wherever they are, and just take them by hand and just say, okay, let's go. You may get setbacks, and you obviously will, but you just never give up. And sometimes help and inspiration can come from the most unlikely places. And sometimes the people that you are fighting against, whatever proposal it is, whatever initiative it is, whoever it is, whether it's local government, companies, whoever, sometimes just that there may be one little thing that will change their mind about something, and it's kind of like a crumbling, and then all of a sudden it all falls down. So never, ever give up.
What are women's strengths and wisdoms?
As I sort of alluded to earlier, I think that women, one of their biggest strengths is communication. And as far as their wisdom goes, as you become older, I believe, personally for myself, that your fear tends to lessen, you become more self-confident, and that helps enormously. If you are an activist, you tend to not focus on, again, speaking for me personally, you tend to not focus on what you look like or any of these other things, you know, what your house looks like or fashion magazines become irrelevant, and you just seem to become more grounded, become stronger in yourself. I don't know how it happens, but it just that's what seems to happen personally for me as I've gotten older. You learn a great deal from other people, and you listen. Women tend to listen and learn a great deal from others, and that helps them as well. It just seems to me that the older you get, being female, the more grounded you become. And when you are constantly fighting other organizations or local governments, you really need that grounding. You really need to be able to have that grounding and that self-confidence as a woman, so that you can make those phone calls and send those emails and meet with people that you are in some kind of controversy with. That's just speaking for myself. That's how I feel. That's how I've grown, I guess, as a woman in what I'm doing. And every single person who's helped me along the way, with wisdom, most of them females, have every single time that you get, that you learn more, you are able to assimilate that and do better as you move on.
You mentioned earlier that as you get older, fear tends to lessen. Can you say a bit more about that, Paran?
Well, just speaking personally for myself, I would have to say that when I was younger, there was always this attempt to help and nurture everyone around me as a female, and part of that was you were always worried how you looked or how you were performing or, you know, in how your house looked. Were your kids clean? Were they, you know, all of these things that women tend to focus on. And, you know, how you appeared to other people, how you appeared to others. As I have gotten older, I guess it's not really a fear, but that just how I portrayed myself to others, I started to worry a heck of a lot less about that. And I started to focus more on what was happening outside my house and neighborhood and circle of friends. When I lost that fear of, oh, you know, am I good enough as a female, compared to other females, it just became a lot easier for me. I no longer cared about the external shell of myself. I care more now about how I can help in any situation that comes up. No matter who calls me asking me for help, I just want to throw myself wholeheartedly into that. And I don't have a problem picking up the phone and calling any local politician or provincial politician, and probably more than likely there will be federal politicians now that I've attached myself to this other proposal, this LNG proposal. I don't fear walking into government buildings. I don't fear people who are the heads of massive wealthy corporations. It doesn't bother me how I look. As a female, I am far more grounded now than I was before. And part of that is age. Part of that is actually the first activism that I was involved in. We won, so that was a huge boost of confidence there. To understand that, okay, now this is how all of these processes work, and if you just follow this along, you will hopefully more than likely be successful. So that's just what I meant. That fear tends to lessen as you get older, and you worry less about the internal workings of, you know, your existence. You look outward.
Glenn, are there any other women's strengths and wisdoms that you have learned about and or observed based on your experience?
Oh, absolutely. There have been a few women who I would consider mentors in my little activism that I've done in this area on Vancouver Island. And sometimes it appears that these women who are very, very strong and are extremely intelligent, sometimes they lose their relationships or things because they are just so strong that others don't know how to take them. For them, it's okay. That's fine. Everyone's different. So they have found a balance in their life, and they have found what makes them happy. And so that to me was a gift to be able to observe these women and think, okay, well, you know, if you can find that balance, if you can find that way of keeping yourself happy and grounded, does that include having a happy home life for these women? Obviously not. And that was a learning thing for me. Everyone's different. So the strengths that these women have are enough for them. The way that they can go out and just be gangbusters in their activism is enough. And if the family life has had to go off to the wayside, that's okay. For them, that's okay. For me, it's not, but that's okay.
Based on your life learnings, what do you invite other women to know?
That no matter what your circumstances are in life, whether you are a professional or a mother or both, that you can make a difference. If there's something that, say, I'm just basing this on activism, if there's something that you feel that is wrong, that is going on in your neighborhood, your province, your country, every little bit helps. Everyone is different. Some are leaders, but for every leader, there are thousands of what I would consider worker bees, the lovely women and men who just spend time doing their little bit to help along with the cause. It can be as simple as just standing with people on the side of the highway in a protest, or as simple as sending one or two emails. That everything helps. Every little bit that people can do helps, and don't be afraid of the process. Don't be afraid to engage your local government, your provincial government, your federal government. Don't be afraid to engage with companies that you feel are doing harm to our environment or anything else for that matter. Once you start, it becomes easier. Once you start, you will find others who will help you along the way. They will explain things to you because, let's face it, this is not learned in elementary school, high school, or I, as far as I know, there is no college or university course on how to be an activist. We were all deer in the headlights at the beginning. We all learned. Some of us have taken it to extreme heights, but everyone started from the very beginning. So please don't be afraid. Please help however you can. Make a phone call. Find out from your friends or neighbors if they're involved. Buy a sign, buy a t-shirt, buy a button, whatever it is that you need to do. And just understand that, as I said, we were all deer in the headlights at the beginning, and it's a lot to learn. There's a very steep learning curve, but once you know more, you'll be able to do more.
Based on your life learnings and experience, what else do you invite other women to know?
As I said before, this attitude of never giving up. That for me was always in the back of my mind whenever I have any kind of an issue or a proposal that I'm fighting. Sometimes governments or companies want you to give up. They make it very difficult on you. But the fact is that if you keep going, if you keep pushing, if you keep this the issue in the public forefront, if you rally, if you protest, if you get petitions, if you bother your local MLAs, MPs, area directors, councilmen, mayors, you just have to keep going. They eventually will understand that you're not going away. And then they eventually will start dealing with you. And then eventually, hopefully, you can make that difference. Sometimes, more often than not, It all ends up in court regardless. But the mere fact of never, ever giving up speaks volumes to the people that you are fighting.
Gwen, in your write-up, you talked about seeking balance, and you've mentioned it a couple times in your conversation with me during this interview. Can you share more about seeking balance and perhaps what you have learned that might be useful for other women to know?
Seeking balance is going to be, for me, a lifelong journey. It's hard to prioritize, but your family should always, always come first. Having said that, there have been times in my life when my family has not come first with my activism, and I've paid for that. Not that my family has made me pay, but I have felt bad. So for me, it is still an ongoing thing. Have I faltered? Absolutely. Have I messed up? You bet. Do I continue? Do I still try to make it better? Absolutely. It is a sometimes daily struggle with me. I'm just speaking from personal experience. I'm a person who finds it very hard to say no when someone comes to me and says, we need your help. I find it very hard to say no. I guess for that would be one of the things that I would let other women know, is that it's okay to say no. And sometimes you really do need to say no. You can't take on the world by yourself. So for other women, maybe the best thing to do, if they haven't done any activism or if they, whatever they're throwing themselves into, before you even do it, stop and really take accounting of your life at this present time, and just make a pact with yourself. This is what I will do, and I will not go past that. There may be times when you will go past whatever your past has been with yourself, just because it's so very, very important. But it's if you stumble, that's okay. But there really is a need out there for people to do more, unfortunately. So that would probably be one thing that I could say to other women out there, is just maybe have that conversation with yourself before you even put your face out there. And is just saying, you know, really, how much can I do here, and try to keep it back. For myself, I went all in, and I'm still pretty much all in. So, you know, plus I work as well, so that doesn't help. I mean, I will be retiring, semi-retiring next year, so I'm hoping that can give me more time to do the things with my family, do the things around my house and gardens and stuff like that I've neglected for the last 5 years. I'm hoping that I can do that as well as still continue on with my activism and going to every meeting that I possibly can. It's tough, but you just have to, as I said, just sort of take stock every day. And have a look at what you can and cannot do.
How can other women help?
Basically, whatever you can do, as I mentioned before, don't be afraid. If you think, holy jeepers, I can't go up against City Hall, well, absolutely, yes, you can. If you think, my goodness, these politicians scare me, or that company scares me. No, they're humans, just like us. If you think, I just don't understand any of this, these processes, and if somebody says to me environmental impact assessment, I don't understand what that means, look it up. It's as simple as that. Just do whatever you can go to meetings. Just go to a few meetings for whatever, if there's an issue out there that you feel strongly against, go to a couple of meetings. Read your papers. Talk to others in the community. Reach out to your local representatives. And just find out. Start. Just go to one meeting, go to one protest, go to one public hearing. Just start. And take it from there. And don't feel bad if you don't understand the process, because as I said before, none of us did when we first started out. You will find out, you will learn with the help of others, how things are, and find your own passionate way to help out, while still attempting to maintain a balance in your life.
Is there anything else that you would like to say that you would like to add before we finish our conversation today?
Yes, I would really like to say thank you to every person out there who has spent any time in activism of any form. There are the leaders, the rock stars, who are in the paper and on TV, and God bless them. But also God bless all the unsung heroes whose face will never be on a newspaper or on TV, whose words will never be printed, but who stood there regardless and worked from behind the scenes, worked from outside where the TV cameras never were. Thank you to all of you out there who have done anything in trying to make this world a better place for yourself, for your kids, for your family, for your community, for your friends, for everyone. And funnily enough, one of my clients gave me a card just the other day, and I would like to share what he wrote in this card. This card was just about hanging in there, because he knew that my life can sometimes get a little out of control with my family and my work and my activism. And so he gave me a card, and he put in this card a quote from Washington Irving, and it is, "There is in every true woman's heart a spark of heavenly fire, which lies dormant in the broad daylight of prosperity, but which kindles up and beams and blazes in the dark hour of adversity." And I thought that was brilliant. That just summed up to me the fact that we can all do this. Yes, it's hard. It is incredibly challenging sometimes to be an activist or to fight for what you believe in. It's incredibly hard and challenging. But there are so many benefits that outweigh all those challenges. The best people I have met in my life have been while I've been an activist. I have developed true lifelong friendships with wonderful, lovely people that I never would have met had I not stepped out of my little comfort zone and became someone who stood up for the community. There is so much good in doing good for your community, and the women that yes, there have been women I've met that have absolutely sparked up.
How can you do what you do?
Because there's no option for me. There is no other option for me. I have seen, I have seen what some people in power are trying or are attempting to do. And to every fiber of my being reacts that this is wrong. So there is no option for me not to act. there wasn't when the local politicians bought a piece of property on, as far as I'm concerned, the most beautiful road on Vancouver Island and attempted to put in a garbage site. That spoke volumes to me, that it screamed at me, this is wrong. And you have to do something. As a human being, you can't let this happen. Yes, it was small potatoes. And compared to some of the stuff that's going on in this world, it was small potatoes. But it was my small potatoes. I just couldn't let it go. And that is how most people become activists. Something happens in their world that shakes them to the core. And they simply cannot stand by and let this happen. Why others could stand by and let it happen, and why I decided that I couldn't, is a question that I can't answer. However, when I stood up and when a lot of other wonderful community members stood up, it wasn't just me. I didn't even start the whole activism against it, but I joined as soon as I found out there were others. But when we all did, and there all of a sudden there was this avalanche of people that just decided, oh, okay, great, I'm with you people. So it's different for everyone, I'm sure, but there will come a time in your life, and it doesn't have to be about activism, it can be about anything, when your inner core will just tell you, you can't not step up and do something, whether it's sending money to an aid organization, or sponsoring a child in another country, or being an activist against something that's going on in your own neighborhood, or in just stepping up to be a politician to help out with things that you deem are reprehensible in what's going on in your life. That I don't know. I can't speak for other people, but it certainly resonated. There was this urgency for me to stand up and do something.
Is there anything else that you would like to add, Brian?
No, not really. Just the fact that I am so eternally grateful to everyone who does stand up for their beliefs, no matter what they are. I'm eternally grateful to those who don't back down. I'm eternally grateful to those who are caretakers of the earth. And I will continue to fight in order to be also a caretaker of the earth. I will continue to try to bring others into the fold to help.
Baran, thank you for sharing your life learnings and your wisdom with us today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Goodbye for now.